Australia, how you gone? That's right, man, it's NBA Australia. I'm James Clements. It's Tuesday, February 6th. I'm your host. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull, the Brooklyn Game, one half of the Jurong Guys NBA podcast. And I am currently here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, repping Straya for your favorite daily NBA podcast. Of course, I'm also looking at like seven Russian dudes on top of this brownstone in front of me. Nice. How you going, guys? What up? NBA Straya. Woo! We are here in the US making sure you know everything that's going on in the NBA, who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. So we've got a fun NBA night to talk about, man. There's a lot of shit that went down. There was also a trade. So we'll talk about all that and all the usual dumbassery, including Yanaz, better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day, and as we do every day in, day out. Working up a cold, hard thirst. We check in on every Australian NBA player, see how they're going, and it's Tuesday. So we have our Shane the Hammer Heel Memorial, random new going off of the week All-Stars. And a check up on Mango Matthewang, our guy down in the Greensboro Swarm. That's pretty fun. I mean, that's sick, man. And of course, we preview all the games for tonight, and there's some corkers, I'll tell you. Absolute corkers. And we'll finish up with a brand new Joe Ingles HR manager. Oh, it is a classic. I'm psyched. Let's get to it. NBA Australia, let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq.
You better, because it is the whip around and it's NBA Straya. It's how we start every day. We whip around the NBA, see if there's any news. Oh, a couple of things popped up yesterday, eh? Willie Hernan Gomez. Oh, Big Willie! He's all like, get me the fuck out of here, New York Knickerbockers. And the Knicks are like, wait, who are you? Poor Willie, been warming the fucking bench all year. Meanwhile, Joakim Noah's getting paid like $20 million a year. Jesus, rough one, I'll tell ya. Yeah, so Willie wants out. We'll talk about that later in the old year, Nas. There was a trade! Oh, shit, yeah. The Brooklyn Nets. Trade with the Milwaukee Bucks. Brooklyn send out Tyler Drowned Rat Zeller. That's right, one of the crappy Zellers to Milwaukee for Rashad Vaughn, who was a first round, like number 17 pick 2 years ago. Two drafts ago, 2015, number 17 pick Rashad Vaughn, and a second round pick that looks to, I believe, is protected 31 through 47. I mean, sure. This gets like another big long dude for Milwaukee, but I mean, why not? Sure. For the Nets, this is great. They get another fucking swing at another wing in the from the old 2015 draft. I mean, sure. Like, why the fuck wouldn't he do it? Like, just give him a look, see how he's doing. He wasn't getting paid. He wasn't getting played basically by Milwaukee. They clearly didn't like the guy. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. Jesus, let the guy play. And, well, he'll get some run in Brooklyn, so sure. This is obviously more about the second round pick for Brooklyn as they restock that bear cupboard. Thanks a lot, Billy King. And then, finally, some news that broke this morning. Oh, no! Dally hurt his ankle. He's out 3 to 4 weeks. Fuck! Oh, shit! What do you reckon, Stephen A?
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
I know. It's absolutely fucking horrible. There's no way to put it. Dally's out for a month. I'm shattered. Oh, well, at least he gets to catch up on all his movies and TV shows for the Dally reviews each week here in NBA Australia. What do you reckon? That's a bummer. Massive bummer. I mean, he was struggling a little bit, but for Dally to actually be out. That's, you know, basically someone has had to have fucking a 70s fucking foot at this point. That dude will play through anything. You know it, I know it, but goddamn. So now for the Bucks, I mean, that means Malcolm Brogdon and Dally are both out for at least a month. Holy shit. So Dally has a grade 3 ankle sprain. You know, basically someone's taken to his leg with a fucking angle grinder. It's an ankle grinder, I guess. Nice. Tough one. So, brutal. Anyway, let's do it. I'm going to have to fucking pour one out over here for Delhi. This sucks. I got a month of no Delhi. Shit. Anyway, let's get to the game wraps from last night, shall we? Blazers at Pistons. Oh, Pistons 111-91. Smashed the Blazers from the very start, didn't they? Absolutely fucking smoked them. Blake era Pistons are now unbeaten at 4-0. Never lost. 20-17 for Dame, but he and CJ just couldn't get it going for the old Blazers. They looked hella tired. As PDX Pete mentioned, the end of a long-ass road trip, going to be a lot of bench dudes, and that's exactly what fucking happened. And they just couldn't get it going at all against the Pistons. Blake had a big game, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Andre Drummond, holy shit. 17-17 for big Dre. No fucking round there, man. And there was some really good fucking two-man game shit between him and Blake. A couple of big lobs to Andre. Andre's just like fucking, oh shit, someone gets, like, is actually passing me the ball? This is the fucking greatest thing ever. Nice one. Good job, Pistons. 4-0 with Blake. Love it. Wiz go into Indiana and beat the Pacers 111-102. Wiz continue killing it without John Wall. Yes, all-star John Wall, and he fucks off. It's the old Ewing theory. What do you reckon? They've won 5 straight without John Wall. Brad Beal's out there, dude. We pass the ball a lot more. Everyone gets involved. It's fucking tight, dude. And so the Wiz have 8 double-figure scorers. And over their last 5 games, they're averaging 32.2 assists per game. Since he went out, at the best mark in the league. They're just moving the ball, man. It's just what happens. Brad Beal out there cooking for 21, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists for Kelly Oubre Jr. Meanwhile, for the Pacers, there was no Victor Oladipo. He sat out, which is a bummer. But Bojan Bogdanovic had 29 on 9 of 15 shooting. Oh, Bojan. 5 of 7 from 3. Lance make him dance. Tries to do the Victor show and can't, because he's Lance Stevenson and not Victor Oladipo. 13 points on 14 shots. That's the Lance special. Yes! The Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. 15 points and 4 rebounds, but the Pacers, man. No Victor, no hope. Oh, the Magic and Heat, the Florida Bowl, son. The Magic win this 111-109. Both in their city uniforms as well. Those rad Miami Vice ones for Miami. And then the fucking weird, shitty Magic ones for the Magic, where they've got like... I kind of like the idea behind it, where it's like a, what, a space escape, and there's like a fucking magic basketball? Like it's a meteor? Comet in space? I don't fucking know, man, but it's bonkers, and I appreciate the thought. It just doesn't look any good. Anyway, Heat have now lost 4 in a row. This is brutal. So they lose this one after a last-second goaltend was overturned. So they have 1 second inbound the ball after they get it back. And Winslow tries to get it in, misses a wide open Goran Dragic, and the ball is stolen by Fournier. And that's it. Game over, son. How about for the fucking Heat, though? Bam! Adebayo out there smashing. We'll talk about him later, but holy shit. Late run at Rookie of the Year, I'll tell you. 20 points for Josh Richardson. Winslow had 16-8. 19-14 for Whiteside. Jesus, can you scream trade him any louder? And 14-7-9 for Dragic, not bad. Meanwhile, Orlando, oh shit, yes. They were led by none other than Super Mario. Right there, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists for Super Mario. Smashing it, mate. 16 points to DJ Augustine and Jonathan Simmons. Alfred Payton at 10-7 as well. Magic, though, I'll tell you where the difference was. Holy shit. They shot 43% from 3. That's 13 of 30. The Heat went 3 of 23. That's 13%. So that'll do it. What about the Jazz? Oh, Utah smashed the Pelicans in New Orleans, 133-109. Utah are fucking smashing it. 6 straight wins. They scored 70 in the first half. Now, in their, I think we put this out on the old Facebook, the old NBA Australia Facebook last night. But in the last 4 games, the Jazz have scored 129, 129, 120, and 133. That is unfucking real, man. For a team that you're just like, how do these guys score? Apparently with the greatest of fucking ease. Of course, in those last four games, old Jinglin Joe over there, he's put up 20 points, 16 points, 10 points, and in this game last night had 18. Unfucking real. But it was fun to see Gobert versus Anthony Davis, the Brow. Gobert had foul trouble in the third, so that was a bit of a shit one, but Utah just kept hitting a million threes. They went 10 of 11 in the first half. And then AD just couldn't get it going in the second half, just ran out of gas. Jrue Holiday kicked some ass, though, 28 points. Rondo had 18 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, rather, and 3 rebounds. He went 4 of 6 from 3, did Rondo. Holy shit. Ah, and welcome back, Emeka Okafor. He had 9 minutes, 3 points, 2 rebounds. It's good to see the old number 2 pick behind Dwight Howard back there in, what was that, 2004? I can't remember what year that was. What are you going to do? We're going to look it up. That's what I'm going to do. Fucking hell, that's killing me. How can I not remember that one? Yeah, 2004. What the fuck am I doing? It's obvious. It's in between LeBron James and Bogey. What do you reckon? Anyway, so Jazz smash him. Mirotic out there as well in those purple uniforms for the Pelicans. Look pretty good. He had a rough one, though. I mean, it's weird seeing him in anything but Bulls stuff, but, you know, purple looks good. 5 points in his second game. Anthony Davis had 15-11 with 3 assists, 3 blocks. But Jingles had a good one. How is Rodney Hood for the fucking Jazz? We'll talk about him in a little bit. Rudy Gobert has 19-10. Rubio with 20 points and 11 assists. And Donovan fucking Mitchell had a rough rookie one, I'll tell you. 2 points on 1 of 6. So he doesn't get a Donovan fucking Mitchell today. He just gets, oh, that was good. Good job, Donovan. How about the next game? Hornets at Nugs. Oh, Hornets get smoked. Nugs jump on them in the third and cruise the win 121-104. Kemba Walker with 20-4. Fuck Dwight Howard with 19 points, 7 rebounds. And the Nugs, Gary Harris, the Dartsman, 5 triples, 27 points for the Dartsman. Not bad. 18 each for Will the Thrill Barton and Jammin' Jamal Murray. They had 8 and 7 assists respectively as well. Not bad. And the Joker, 15 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists. Just the fucking run of the mill for the Joker. Smashing, mate. Smashing. Not bad. Keeping on moving. The Kings. Oh my God, can you believe this one? The Bulls lose to Sacramento. 104-98. This is a tough one. Sacramento won and didn't even score until 6 minutes into the game. Literally, the Bulls could have had, like, been playing its nobody for the first 6 minutes of this game. And then Sacramento came out and were like, oh, we're going to play now, and scored. And they fucking won. That's unbelievable. They scored 9 points in the first quarter and won. They trailed by 21 points at a point and won this game. They were down 10 in the fourth. Oh, mate. Anyway. Fucking Bulls killing me. Robin Lopez, he got tossed, started throwing some chairs, was a bit pissy. He was old Sideshow Bob over there. And that's how you tank, though. You get your big center fucking tossed, you don't have Lowry Markkanen, you don't have Chris Dunn, and you lose to the Kings after they score 9 points in a quarter. Fucking hell. But for Chicago, the good stuff is that Zach LaVine, he had 27 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, looking very nice since his return from that ACL injury. His last 3 games, he's had 23 points, 21 points, 27 points on 46% shooting. And also last night, I don't know if you saw this highlight, but he killed Jakar Sampson. Sorry, Jakar. Have to bury that body somewhere. How about 18-14 for fighting Bobby Portis? Fighting around the world. Actually got his first start of the season as well. And fucking delivered, did Bobby Portis. Fighting Bobby Portis. You rearrange your face and then drop a 3 in your fucking face. What do you reckon? Sacramento, team effort. They win. And no one scores over 15, but all 10 of their dudes got amongst it. Scored over 4, I think. And not bad, man. Bogdanovic had 15, George Hill 14, Garrett Temple with 12. De'Aaron Fox, though, unfortunately limped off in the third with a sprained left ankle. Rough one. And then the final game of the night, the Mavs at the Clips. Oh, shit. Clips win their second post-Blake. Tobias Harris, I'm the captain now. Look at me, look at me. I'm the captain now. Tobias Harris, the never nude. 104-101. Do you know how they did this? They scored the last fucking 13 points of the game. Oh, bang. Unbelievable. How are the Mavs? They don't score for 4 minutes and 42 seconds in the fourth quarter. The Clippers scored the last 13 and win. Yogi Ferrell had a chance to tie it at the death, but turned it over by stepping out of bounds. Classic. Dirk Nowitzki hit 50,000 points for his NBA career, which is awesome. And they also misspelled his name on his jersey. Come on, mate. I'm pretty sure if you play 50,000 minutes of anything, they should get your name right. Jesus. Anyway, how's the combo of Tobias Harris and the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari? They're smashing for the Clips at the moment. 19 for the never-nude Tobias and 28 for the Rooster. That's the old 1-2 Costa Zoo right there. Fucking hell. Gallo goes 9 of 13 for the game. Awesome. DJ had 6 points, 13 rebounds. Lou Will had 15 points off the bench with 8 assists. Not bad. And for the Mavs, everyone stunk. 12 points on 17 shots for Dennis Smith Jr. Dirk had 12 on 11. Wes Matthews had 23 points and 5 assists. Devin Harris had 16, but Jesus. Can anyone spell Mavs tank? Tank, Mavs, tank. Tank, Mavs, tank. Tank, Mavs, tank. It's just how it has to go, right? Come on, what are y'all doing? All right, well, I mean, fuck. The Mavs are now equal worst with Sacramento in the lead, well, in the West. And then the Magic and the Hawks are a game down below them. So that's some fucking positioning for the old lottery, eh? Not bad, not bad. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That was a knife, Rodney Hood. Holy shit, for Utah, they're smashing. And at the moment, Rodney just goes out and goes, hey, if you're going to trade me, just, you know, make sure that you get something good back. He is a super efficient night. Goes 12 of 14. 12 of 14 shots for 30 points as the Jazz smash the Pelicans. He's 4 of 4 from 3. That is the best performance of the night. Good job, Rodney Hood. And if you're going to get traded, like, I don't know, Utah are kind of seeing them going, dude, we're scoring like 120 fucking points a game. Maybe we should just not trade everybody. But there you go. Good job, Rodney Hood. That was a smashing fucking thing. He just looked amazing. I watched a bunch of this game, and every time he touched the ball, like, shit happened. So good job, Rodney Hood. That's a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
All right. Who's old mate, no mates today? Who's got no mates? The Sacramento Kings offense. Oh, they took 6 minutes to score their first bucket of the game. God damn, they got booed after the first quarter, and then they won. They turned it around, baby. It's like a Leighton Hewitt five-setter. The best part is I think they Freaky Friday'd with the Mavs. So Sacramento, they score 9 points. Don't score for the first 6 minutes of the game. They Freaky Friday with the Mavs, who are winning, no problems. And then at the end of their game, can't score for fucking 4 minutes, 42 seconds. Oh, Freaky Friday. Something just happened between those two teams, didn't they? What the hell? There you go. The Mavs and Sacramento Kings offenses. What the hell? You are old mate, no mates today. All right, let's get to Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Yeah, coming for everybody. This is your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. It is hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. And can you say bam? Bam Adebayo smashing for the fucking Miami Heat. The 14th pick in last year's draft is out there crushing it at the moment. Had 15 and 13 against Philly last Friday. And then last night against the Orlando Magics, had 18 points, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 2 fucking massive dunks as well. Holy shit, that was unbelievable.
This is ridiculous. Oh, Lord.
I'll tell you, that's what Stephen A reckons. There you go. In only 26 minutes as well, he had 18 and 10. So good job, Bam. You are better than Lonzo Ball today. Still, Lonzo Ball getting closer and closer to practicing. We'll see how he goes today after, waking up, hanging out, going, oh, my right MCL feels a bit wonky, so maybe I'm not going to practice. So that's what happens. He's still waiting for full speed non-contact drills at the moment. So they'll see that happen before he practices and comes back. But come on, Lonzo, we need you back in the goddamn league. Got to have something to compare you to. All right, we'll be back right after these messages with Yeah Nas.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stray, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, we're back. NBA Stray. Let's get into Yeah Nahs. We take three NBA Stray lines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Let's do it. Will the Celtics retire Terry Rozier's number? Yeah, nah, yeah, maybe, eh? Fucking hell, Terry Rozier became... You know, it's Terry Rozier, but on this here podcast, he's Terry Rozier, became the first player since stats were first tracked in 1970 to record a triple-double and a 30-point game in his first two career starts. Hall of Fame, Terry Rozier, here he comes! I love it. Anyway, Celtics play the old Raptors tonight, see how he goes. Number two, the Knicks would be morons to trade Willie Hernan Gomez. Yeah, nah, yeah! You don't fucking trade the guy that you got cost-controlled, Knicks. You're going to get maybe priced out of Kylo Quinn when he comes up for a new contract. Cantor is one of the only big tradable contracts you've got. And he's actually, you know, a good basketball player, I guess, even if he doesn't play defense. And you can't play Joakim Noah. Why would you trade the one center on your roster next to Kristaps Porzingis, who is talented and cost-controlled? He's cost-controlled for the next 2 years and then restricted anyway. What the fuck are you doing? Don't do it. Keep Willie. Trade everybody else. Apart from maybe, you know, young dudes. But Jesus Christ. Come on, Knicks. Wake up. Don't listen. He'll be fine. All right, number three. Dirk Nowitzki becoming the sixth ever player to hit 50,000 minutes is fucking ridiculous. And yeah, of course. That's fucking bananas. Who's done 50,000 minutes of anything? Like, ever? That's unbelievable. I mean, my mate Pete the Shagger maybe, like, we're jacking off, but still, come on. Let's get back into it, though. This is proper. The proper one, are the Lakers smart, too? As the report came out this morning, to recalibrate to the 2019 free agency class. Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, of course, that's what you'd, like, do if you were smart. This is what smart franchises do. You let the kids develop. You let Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, even fucking like Julius Randle and co, like, just develop, save your cap space, let that Luol Deng contract get a year or two shorter, and then go after like Kawhi, Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler in 2019, see how you go. But, gee, do you think it's the Lakers fucking around and trying to throw focus off them trying, obviously, to go after LeBron this summer? Yeah, nah, yeah, of course it is. That's fucking bananas, mate. Of course this is all a fucking smokescreen. It's just what it is. Don't know what to tell you. So yeah, LeBron and the Lakers still feels like the marriage at the end of this scene, but they're just kind of do it on the DL. So they leak some shit through Ramona Shelburne and Woj over there and just like, oh yeah, nah, we're not even going to do much, I reckon, this summer. What do you reckon? And it's like, yeah, all right, we all fucking get it. You're trying to go after LeBron, but not get your fucking fan base excited. Smart. All right, let's get to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I think Utah will make the playoffs. I don't know what Joe Johnson's trying to do in getting away, and like, unless he wants to go to Golden State, but fucking hell, mate. The Jazz, 25-28. They've won six straight. The Pelicans they've lost two straight. Portland have lost three straight. They're swooning everywhere at the bottom of the West. Even the fucking Thunder have lost four straight and are only like basically a game and a half up out of the eighth spot. So, Jesus, I reckon the Jazz, if they can stay healthy, touch wood, they might sneak in. There you go. I like it. Not bad. All right, it's Tuesday, so let's get to it. It's the latest addition to the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Random Guy Going Off of the Week All-Stars Hall of Fame.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. All right, in honor of him being shut down by the Knicks because he wants to beat the shit out of Jeff Hornacek while they're paying him $18 million a year to not play basketball, it's a good time to remind you of what Joakim Noah was once capable of. Because back in 2013, in a late February game against Philly, the son of Yannick, he had a fucking game. Mang. He randomly went off for a stat line that's flatly fucking ridiculous. Oh, fucking New York-y Noah over there had 23 points, which is not bad. Sure, not bad. He goes 8 of 12. That's also very good. 7 of 9 free throws. Similarly, very, very good. Oh, shit, wait. He had 21 rebounds as well as 23 points? Fuck, 23 and 21. Shit, man, that's a lot. Oh, wait. Hold up. He also had 11 blocks. Oh, shit, 23 points. 21 rebounds, 11 blocks, and 3 steals. Now that is a fucking stat line. Good job, no Joakim Noah. Random guy going off of the week for a fucking 23, 21, and 11 block triple-double. That is a worthy addition to the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Go Off Random Guy of the Week Hall of Fame. Are you healed? I'm healed.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord.
All right, we'll be back right after this one with the Australian Player Watch.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Deli over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, back with the Australian Player Watch on NBA Straya. Ben Simmons plays the Wiz tonight. Patty Mills, the Spurs are off to a Wednesday. Jinglin' Joe Ingles. Oh, can you say Hot Street Joe? Holy shit, as mentioned, the last four Jazz games, they've scored 129, 129, 120, 133. The jingling one. Slow-mo Joe in those four games, 20 points, 16 points, 10 points, and 18 points. Gee, do you reckon he's like leading him to this fucking streak? Oh, I reckon. Massive game last night, though, against the old New Orleans Pelicans. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Sorry, 3 assists, 4 of 5 from 3. Out there just getting it fucking stroked as the old crow eater, Joe Ingles. Not bad, mate, not bad. Not bad. All right, moving on. Deli! Fuck! Deli hurt his ankle. God damn it, out 3 to 4 weeks. This is such a fucking bummer. I don't know, man. Scrappy little guy. There's like a great bit of footage from their game against the Knicks last week where he's like boxing out Porzingis for like an entire possession and Zinger has no fucking like hope of getting it. And that is an
extreme Zinger meal.
The extreme Zinger meal doesn't match up for fucking Deli, mate. I'll tell you that. So that's a massive bummer. So rough. Anyway, hopefully he'll be back in a month and he can chill out over the All-Star break. All right, but how about Thon McCur? Well, the Bucks have got the Knicks tonight, so they're in town hanging out. Thon hopefully going up against his fellow unicorn, Porzingis. Bangers Baines, Aaron Baines, they play the Raptors tonight. Andrew Bogut, still no team. Mango Mathiang, we're about to check up on him. And how is Dante Exum still going? Oh, coming back after the All-Star break. And what about Kyrie? Well, the update on Kyrie is, well, he may or may not play tonight. No one's entirely sure. What do you reckon? Well, it turns out it just got announced. They traveled with the team to Toronto, and we have a report from Brian Robb saying that Kyrie will play tonight. That's a Celtics reporter from the Boston Sports Journal. See how we go. What do you reckon? Nice one. They're going to shoot around, and they should be available. So there you go. Kyrie might play. All right, it's Tuesday, so let's get to the Mango Mathiang check-in. Oh, Mango! Our South Sudanese Australian bro over there shredding for the Greensboro Swarm down in Carolina, North Carolina. They may have lost to the Westchester Knicks on Friday, but Mango is huge! 31 minutes, he had 16 points, 15 rebounds, 2 steals, goes 7 of 15 from the field for a fucking huge game. Smashing it, let's get him back up on the Hornets. What do you reckon? I reckon that's a good one. On ya, Mango. All right, let's get through the game previews. Let's punch it. Come on. This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. Yeah, you are. NBA Straya. We're back. Let's do the Patty Mills Inspiration Board. Inspiration Board. Well, look. Patty Mills wasn't inspiring today. He hasn't tweeted since their last game, but the Spurs Coyote did tweet out, sometimes you got to be your own biggest fan. And Patty Mills is, go Spurs, go. Nice one. Oh, thanks Spurs Coyote. That's pretty great. All right, let's get to the game previews. Game previews. Tuesday. What do we got? Tuesday, February 6th. We got Cavs at Magic. Magic on a back-to-back and the Cavs are a shit show. So who the fuck wins this one? Cavs better win this one or Ty Lue's going to get fucking shit canned, I'll tell you that much. Boston at Toronto. Oh, it's the number 1 and 2 seeds in the East and this one isn't even on tally. Can you fucking believe that? I don't get no respect, I'll tell you. That's a big one. Oh, Jesus. I don't get no respect. So that is a fucking shocker. We've got Washington Philly on TNT and then OKC Golden State. Meanwhile, Boston Toronto. League pass. 1 and 2 in the East. Get the fuck out of here. That's crazy, isn't it? So give me the Cavs in the first game. Boston, Toronto. Give me, I want to say Toronto in that one at home. I think they get it. Rockets at Nets. Oh, poor Nets. Gonna get their ass beat. I don't know what to tell you. Their budget Rockets thing isn't going great, and they've lost a kajillion. But anyway, Rockets win that one. Grizzlies at Hawks. Fuck that game. Oh, Jesus. Marc Gasol. German Rondo. Yeah, it's the NBA on TNT. Yeah, no fucking dice there, mate. Give me the Hawks. They play randomly well at home sometimes, even though they've only won 16 games. All right, Bucks at Knicks. Unicorn battle redux. It's Greek versus
Supercharged Zingerburger.
The Supercharged Zingerburger. Nice one. The Knicks have been a bit shit of late, though, so it's rough. Yeah, the Knicks have lost three straight. Bucks are looking okay, especially with Joe Prunty there. But they just lost Delly as well, so they don't really have any guards apart from like a hobbled Bledsoe. Woo, tough one. Give me the Bucks, though. I think they might win that. All right, Wiz at Sixers. Wiz on a six-game winning streak up against the Super Bowl champs. Holy shit. Actually, the Wiz are on a five-game winning streak. I don't know why I wrote six. Because I was high. Super Bowl champs. Sixers, I think they take that energy and smash the Wiz at home. The fucking place will be rocking. Oh, Thunder at Warriors. What do you reckon about that one? Oh, shit. See how this four-game losing streak Thunder go. What do you reckon? The coward Kevin Durant against his old mucker Rusty Westbrook over there? Oh, what do you reckon? The coward. Got to face up to Stephen Adams, bro. Oh, hey, Kevin. How are you, bro? Oh, yeah, that's pretty sick, eh? I'm going to break your fucking leg. Nice one. Give me the Warriors. I think they've been pretty shit of late, and the Thunder are sucking, so Warriors win that one. Oh, and final game of the night, Suns-Lakers. Oh, my God. Steve Nashbowl, the trade that still haunts the Lakers to this day as they cough up another draft pick for that 2 years of Steve Nash and his busted-ass fucking leg. Give me the Lakers at home. They've actually won, like, 10 of their last 14, I believe, the old Lakers, which is the best stretch they've had in 5 years. So, not bad. Not bad. The 21 and 31 and not as shit as everyone expected. And you know what? Give me the Lakers. That's it. Done for today. NBA Australia locked and loaded. Stick around for Joe Ingles, HR manager, at the end of this one. And we will be back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook for, all the updates. NBA Australia, never forget. Still popping off on Facey. Give it a smash. Don't know who we've got today, but it'll be a good one. Trust me. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and Google Play. Chuck us a review and rating while you're at it. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They are fucker great. Their new single, Stop, is out now. Go request it on Triple J, would you? Come on. Just do it. Stop. It is an absolute fucking corker. Trust me. And extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes throughout the episode. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. They're awesome. And that's it. As mentioned, Joe Ingles, HR manager. We're going to stick around and do that. And we'll be back tomorrow for more ridiculousness on NBA Australia. That's it. Tuesday in the bag. We out. Catch us tomorrow. Later, Hosen. G'day, it's Joe Ingles here for my weekly pop into the NBA Australia office in between drinking coffees, dunking balls and sinking threes to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Because you probably didn't know, but I didn't go to uni just to play basketball. No, I also majored in human resources, so I'm the most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have on pretty much any topic. Because, after all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. And I'll tell you, it gets results. Have you been watching us lately? Me and the Utah Jazz have got our human resources on track. We're doing good things out there on a six-game winning streak. I'm shooting 65% from three over the last five games, just crushing those KPIs. But I'm still making sure I take care of my duties as NBA Australia's HR manager. So let's get to today's question. It comes from LBJ in Cleveland. There you go. Hey, Joe. Hey, LBJ. I've got a query about HR and how to inspire work colleagues. I've been in a leadership role for quite a while now. I originally started at the company I'm with, but left for 4 years to work elsewhere and then came back. Interesting. That's a very interesting career path, LBJ. Anyway, on we go. And since I got back, it's been a bit weird. Management doesn't seem to trust my intentions because I won't commit to working for them on a multi-year contract. And then they slander me when all I'm doing is trying to keep my options open. That's a very good point. Meanwhile, I've helped the other employees here get paid very well, but most of them are underperforming while some of the other employees I handpicked to come in haven't worked out as well as I hoped. That's a rough one. And it is really affecting our collective output as an organization. I've tried everything I know to inspire them, like quietly telling reporters covering our business which guys need to step up, glibly implying to everyone that I'm not in charge and that it's up to everybody else, and also passively aggressively posting stuff on Instagram and tweeting. I'm not sure if that's the right one there, LBJ. Anyway, now I am at my wit's end. Do you have any suggestions for team building exercises? Also, the organization have some fun future assets that they could use to upgrade our work situation right now, but they're refusing to because they're worried I might leave next year. Look, just because I got them to hire all my friends and overpay them, they want to blame me for everything. That's not right, is it? Thanks. Yours sincerely, LBJ, Cleveland. Oh, Jesus, I'll tell you, LBJ, that is a sticky situation. And it would appear to me, like right off the bat, that your leadership skills could use some work. Perhaps you should ask management to look into some training videos about leadership. I can remember, you know, doing a couple myself, and I'll recommend a number of great interactive HR leadership videos that only run about 45 minutes to an hour and a half each. They're really good. Otherwise, I'd talk to your management supervisors about team building exercises to build up trust and camaraderie. They can be immensely rewarding. Maybe go bowling, maybe go go-kart racing. Perhaps a game of organizational family feud. But the best one, I think, is a scavenger hunt. It forces everyone to work together as part of a team and engenders a feeling of solidarity in a group, especially if there are already established relationships. This can open you up to new ways of thinking with and about your fellow employees. And really, a lot of this comes down to making sure you have clear lines of communication with management and across the organization so you can iron out any issues before they get to the memo stage. After all, as we say in HR, the employees that file hourly KPIs together stays together to file their hourly KPIs. So, once you've probably managed and focused your human resources in this new workplace environment, you'll be back on track to organizational success in no time. Okay, that's all I've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the HR Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.